And our last speaker of the day is John Graves. He's currently completing his PhD at AUT in open source development of a voice-enabled interface.
Yes,
as it voice says. And vision. So please welcome John.
Great. I only want to make a couple of points. Education has a certain interface to it. You know, there's a lot of talking that goes on. People raise their hands. That's the way the dialogue works in a classroom. The computer has an entirely different interface. And what I'm researching is trying to move the interaction for a learning experience closer to that of a real face-to-face encounter, where you could essentially or actually raise your hand or make a gesture with your hand. You could speak to the computer, and the computer would talk back to you. Now, this is research I've only just started, actually. I was approved for the PhD in October. I only started working with Python in November, and so the stuff I have to show is just, you know, very sort of prototype material. But I'm documenting the process of development and the incremental progress of the project at this YouTube site. And if you're interested at all, please go take a look. What I can show you today is a little bit of video here. You probably are familiar with the touch screen application. This is a touchless interface.
Based control. We're running Python and a web camera here. As I move my finger into this area of the screen, you can see that these colored boxes are selected, and that enables me to send signals to control a computer. In the yellow box, if I select it, I'll open a blog entry in Mahara. And if I select the blue, I can get a text entered into that blog. Again, I'm not pressing the mouse or keyboard at all here.
Is it clear at all what just happened? That was a pre-recorded macro, just to show you that something that you do in the visual interface could have, any kind of implications on the computer interface. But the idea is to, maybe make a mapping between the two, or just to give you this ability to perhaps make choices from what I'll show you next, which is a voice-enabled tutor. Now, the voice part of it that I'm going to demonstrate is just the voice, the text-to-speech generation. But it's designed to have also the voice recognition, so that the computer would be talking to you, it would give you some choices, you'd be able to say back to it what choice you wanted to make.
Select using your voice or the keyboard. 1. B. 3. 4. This also works.
Again, this is just the introductory slide that you could say the words now, this also works.
You selected this also works. Well done. Now we will demonstrate a science lesson. What color is the sky? Overhead at midday. On a clear and cloudless day. The sky is orange.
You don't have to wait for it to
the sky
through
is blue.
Every choice. But pedagogically,
the sky is white.
You want it to be able to
the
be
sky is black.
Responsive to a student's mistakes. We've heard several times today that you learn by doing. I almost maintain that just the opposite is true. You learn by not doing, by trying something, making a mistake, and then having some feedback about, well, what is it I did wrong? So suppose I pick a
You selected the sky is black. Black is the correct answer for someone standing where there is no atmosphere. What about on the Earth? What color is the sky? You selected the sky is blue. Correct. Now what causes a blue sky? Is the sky blue? Due to the color of sunlight.
Now what this is going to illustrate,
the color of the atmosphere,
and had the voice
how our eyes see colors
is this other dictation. Choice dictation where if a student's gotten to a point where maybe they're beginning to not understand what's going on, they could now, in what's called a mixed initiative, ask a question in response to the question. And with AI techniques that are being developed, you could parse that response and then move them on in the appropriate direction, help them understand. Again, the key concept is to immediately respond to where the student is in need of help. Are we about out of time?
I was just going to say, do you want to get a volunteer to have a go?
You know, I don't. The voice recognition has been proving to be very fallible because it gets trained for a particular person's voice, and so I could demonstrate it, but the only headset I have also takes the audio out, so you wouldn't be able to hear it. So what I was really pleased to discover, though, is that this tutorial is all written in Python, and I could load it on one of the XOs, and you're welcome to actually sit there and play with it yourself. So what are your questions? Anyway, take a look at some of the other videos. Okay. Oh, you want to go through the rest of it? Yeah.
So the question is, why is the sky blue?
Yeah, which choice do you want to pick here? Well, the tutorial will tell you ultimately that it has to do with scattering of light. So that's and you can skip through questions here. Actually.
What happens?
And when you
pick what that. Word describes? You selected scattering. Correct. Rayleigh scattering makes the sky blue because the light is first absorbed and then radiated in different directions. How to do you like this tutor? Great. Okay.
Anybody care to pick one?
Useless.
Yeah.
Other dictation. You selected okay. Your input is appreciated. Thank you.
They're all right.
For trying this lesson. You can learn more at http://.
Thank you.
Did anyone have any other questions?
Yes.
I noticed that a lot of the talk was rather stilted.
Oh.
Is there a reason for that?
Yes, this is all text-to-speech with the standard voice that comes with the operating system that I was using. You can buy voices. You could have Marilyn Monroe.
So the actual operating system there.
Yeah.
So the actual operating system there is being given a string for text-to-voice, and it's actually stilting it like it's chunking it up into pieces as opposed to talking the whole thing through.
For the most part, yeah. And as you saw...
That looked like, was it Vista or 7?
Some of the... That was XP.
Oh, that was XP.
But
okay.
eSpeak on the XO does the same thing.
It actually chunks it up as well.
It takes it however you give it to it. The problem is if you gave it a very long phrase to speak, it would take a while to synthesize it, and that would extend the delay time before you actually heard something.
So there's a CPU cap or something happening there, which
yeah.
is...
There's a lot gotcha. Of aspects of this technology that as the power of computers improves, it's going to become much smoother, much more natural. Like I say, this is all just very prototypical stuff that I'm really excited about where this technology will lead us eventually.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sorry, technical question. Is that a Python-specific binding, or is there something that can be used in other technologies as well? Because I can see a lot of applications for that kind of technology.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's... I'm certainly developing or aiming to develop it in a completely cross-platform way. So what's important for the voice part of it is what kind of voice recognition engine is available on each operating system. The particular Python library that I had been using on Windows was the Dragonfly that I had up there. And Dragonfly currently doesn't connect up with Julius or any other Linux-based speech recognition engine that I've been able to sort out yet. But again, I think this is just a question of, you know, making the right software connections, and we'll have it on Linux as well.
One last question.
It's actually more of a comment based on this sort of thing. I mean, I do have a personal interest in voice and text-to-speech recognition and things like that. And the challenge there is, you know, just to do with the voices. We have issues with the Australian accent. Uh-huh. You know, we can get the US ones. The voice technology is very, very proprietary in many cases. A lot of money is spent on getting it, and they absolutely do not let it out. And even the speech recognition, you know, IBM had one. We sold it to somebody else, and it is essentially locked down. So there is a huge opportunity for people to develop in this space.
Okay, well, we're going to have to wrap it up because we're going to get kicked out of the building. But I would just like to say thank you to John.
Thank you.
I'm sure that Tabitha would like to have the last word, but I'm going to have the last word. Now, Linux Conference is a great organization, and one of the unique things about the Linux Conference is the mini-conf's. And we couldn't do the mini-conf's without people like Tabitha organizing them and getting them going and getting these really great programs going. So the organizers... Now, I'm just going to just dive down here... Oh. A little pretty for Tabitha. Thank you very much for your wonderful efforts.
The last word is thanks to the presenters who actually make it possible by coming in and doing a lot of prep to be here and run presentations and workshops. So thank you. Enjoy your evening.